terrorism, revolution, and fights for self-determination are now a political reality on most every continent. The Irish author Conor Cruise O'Brien struggles with these issues in a new collection of essays and reviews called Passion and Cunning. But book critic John Leonard says O'Brien sheds little light.
From Conor Cruise O'Brien, we expect expert advice. On his own, and as a troublemaker for the United Nations, he's seen more cataclysm than anybody else who writes as well as he does. Diplomat, historian, literary critic, college professor, newspaper columnist, cross-cultural jack-in-the-box, a kind of Irish André Malraux, he's been everywhere. In his native Ireland, in the Middle East, in Africa and Latin America, he sees a world in ruins. In his shaving mirror, he sees a disappointed child of the Enlightenment, a pessimistic liberal. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, a blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and O'Brien is depressed. At description, O'Brien is brilliant in these essays and book reviews. At prescription, he's wistful if not slipshod. He never bothers to distinguish between terrorism and revolution, except in Nicaragua. He finds a mix of faith and fatherland, of liberation theology and Marxist social engineering, somehow profoundly original among the Sandinistas, and an awful idea anywhere else. In South Africa, black violence looks more like terror than revolution to him, and worries him just as much as white oppression. His pipe dream proposal is, quote, a multiracial bourgeois coalition, with some help from the unions. As if the whites there hadn't already proved they can't coalesce even with themselves except to dig in. Likewise, in the Middle East, it's all terror and no revolution, according to O'Brien. He favors, quote, limited superpower consensus, with some help from the world court, as if the angry and the alienated on the West Bank will listen obediently to pious world opinion. All the agony in Northern Ireland he blames on the IRA, as if Ulster's paramilitary goons and an English army of occupation haven't also played their part in the death of children and of decency. He favors search without warrant and detention without trial. This is certainly pessimistic, but it isn't liberal, nor is it good enough. How could it be, if the best O'Brien can do by way of summing up what terrorism's all about is this, and I quote, "The sentimentalist thinks of the terrorist as driven to violence by grievance or oppression. It would be more realistic to think of the terrorist as hauling himself up by means of the grievance or oppression, and the violence it legitimizes, to relative power, prestige, and privilege in the community to which he belongs. For an unemployed young man in a slum in Sidon, for example, the most promising channel of upward mobility is his neighborhood branch of the National Terrorist Organization." Close quote. Imagine, we're asked to think of terrorism like the army, the church, the trade union movement, organized crime, and professional boxing as an equal opportunity employer for the upwardly mobile and disadvantaged young man from the wrong side of the desert tracks. This leaves out all those violent children from, say, middle-class Germany and Japan, many of them female too. It ignores everything said on the subject by such brainy writers as Mary McCarthy, Heinrich Böll, Alberto Moravia, Doris Lessing, and Paul Theroux, not to mention Dostoevsky. And it also finesses the original grievance and denies the existing oppression. I'm almost as disappointed by O'Brien as O'Brien is disappointed by the world.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Conor Cruise O'Brien's new book, Passion and Cunning.